Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, you know, the list of Democratic presidential hopefuls just keeps growing. It's like a new face shows up every other week, and it looks like it's not going to stop, not anytime soon. Last week, it was reported a new face is entering the mix. From the South Florida city of Miramar, Mayor Wayne Messam has launched an exploratory bid for the office and plans to make a formal announcement on March 30th. Mayor Messam has overseen a city of approximately 150,000 people since 2015, and he's been a champion of progressive issues like gun control legislation, immigrant rights, and environmental activism. Now, yesterday, he returned from a trip to the Middle East where he met with key Israeli and Palestinian leadership. Mayor Messam joins us now in studio. Mayor, such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, and happy birthday.
Somebody told you that. By the way, we are taking your questions. If you have questions, you know what? What do you want to know from the mayor and what kind of run, what kind of bid he's going to make for the White House? Go ahead and give us a call, 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. You could tweet us or find us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. So, Mayor, I mean, you've yet to make the formal announcement. So you want to say it now? You're running for president.
Well, I opened up my exploratory committee last Wednesday after being reelected mayor from Miramar. And what we have shared is that on March 30th, I will be making an announcement that will perhaps shake up and change the Democratic field of presidential candidates.
So why have you decided to set your aspirations for something like this? Or, and again, whatever this announcement may be, unless you surprise us, but why not run for a county seat, the state seat first? Why make it a leap like this? Why would anybody want to do that?
Well, there's no question that's a question that some people may ask. But when you think about the pressing issues of this country in terms of climate change, gun violence, job opportunities, and being able to provide for your family, individuals having to work 2 and 3 jobs just to make ends meet. And when I reflect back even to my parents who were immigrants from Jamaica, my father was a contract sugarcane cutter. He cut sugarcane for 75 cents per row of cane. And my father migrated to this country so that he can chase the American dream. And I am living that dream. I was able to get a football scholarship to Florida State University to be on the national championship team in 1993, my freshman year, playing for legendary coach Bobby Bowden, to have a shot at the NFL. When my NFL career was cut short, I started a construction business, my wife and I, creating jobs. We built one of the most sustainable elementary schools. Our company was a part of that in the Southeast United States, reaching LEED Platinum status and having the opportunity to serve 150,000 residents as the mayor. The urgency of change cannot wait. And I'm not convinced that the answers are coming from Washington. You know, mayors, we're the closest to the American people. And we understand the issues on the ground. And when you look at the lack of urgency coming out of Washington, change cannot wait.
This is interesting, though. Understandably, mayor is maybe the closest you're going to get to a lot of people, but it's a giant leap for the White House. That's a giant leap to want to run for an office like that. And you're running against people with a lot bigger name recognition, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and there's a longer list than that. Do you think that it could be done in one leap, or do you have to work your way up?
Well, it's all in perspective. Name recognition does not define leadership. You know, as a business owner, I've created jobs. As mayor, I passed a living wage in our city. I'm fighting oil drilling right now outside of Miramar, and we have a battle in the state right now to stop oil drilling right side of our city. I made Miramar a safe community, meaning that in any place in our city's facilities, our parks, our community centers, we will not participate in unwarranted and illegal immigration enforcement. So when you define what is leadership and the issues that American people are dealing with today, I will put my record as a mayor dealing with issues that have national ramifications, as well as my experience as a climate conscious business owner that understands the impacts of creating jobs and making payroll. I put that record up against any candidate that's seeking the Democratic nomination. And I think that American people, they've stated that they trust mayors. They see mayors as people who get the job done. So I stand by my qualifications.
Why did you get into politics? I mean, as you said, you had a college career as a football player. Mm-hmm. You did have a shot at the NFL. Then you went into business for yourself.
Yes.
And, I mean, you could have gone anywhere from there, but you got into city politics. Why?
Well, it kind of happened. You know, I guess it was kind of bred into me, you know, by witnessing the hard work of my parents to put their children through school. My parents both only had a fifth grade education coming from Jamaica, and they instilled us the value of education. And I was my senior class president. Many folks don't know, while being a starting wide receiver at Florida State University, I also was elected by the student body to be their student government vice president. I just volunteered professionally, and I said my wife and I moved to Miramar almost 19 years ago, come April. We volunteered on boards just to get involved. So it kind of evolved. And then I decided to run for city commission in 2011 and win by less than 30 votes and became the first black mayor of Miramar in 2015, unseating a 16-year incumbent.
And you won a re-election here recently.
Yes.
So again, we're talking with Mayor Wayne Messam from Miramar, and we're talking about this exploratory bid for president. And so he may be another name to throw into that list. If you'd like to ask him a question about where he stands on different issues and why he thinks that he can jump from a mayor's position, which, by the way, there is somebody else who's trying to do the same thing, but trying to go for the White House that quickly, we'd love to hear from you. 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. Or you can find us online at WLRN Sundial, Twitter or Facebook. We'll read your questions here to the mayor. Let's talk about some of these different issues that you've already championed. This isn't just about a platform, things you've already done. Let's see, for example, on gun control, you were part of a group of mayors that last year sued Governor Rick Scott for a law which prohibits local municipalities from enacting their own gun restrictions. This after the Parkland shooting, there were cities that were saying, you know what, we've got to put restrictions on guns, but the state law says cities cannot do that. They can throw you out of office for that. But why did you feel it was important to join that group?
I felt it was important because I received a number of phone calls after Parkland, which is only 15 minutes up the road from Miramar. And even our police officers went up in response to assist law enforcement there. And when I could not have an answer or a response to our own residents on when they asked me a crucial question, Mayor, what are you going to do to ensure that Glades Middle, Miramar Elementary, Everglades High School, Miramar High School is safe and does not happen? I could not answer them from the standpoint of what I could propose because of this law that has the punitive impacts to chill local elected officials from proposing just common sense things like not allowing guns in our parks or not allowing guns in City Hall. Simple things like that. And so because of that, I was one of the leading mayors to file that lawsuit last year. That is now working its way through the process and will start litigations. There's been some subsequent lawsuits filed. They've been consolidated, and we are optimistic that the punitive damage part, we should at least be able to have the discussion as local elected officials.
You know what? I mean, as president, I mean, it's not that you could do anything. It's still got it. Congress still has to bring you a bill. But as president, with that bully pulpit, what could you do? What would you do with gun legislation? What does that look like under, I guess, a presidency?
One of my number one priorities will be to push and advocate for common sense gun control laws. We're not trying to impact anyone's Second Amendment right to bear arms. It's just a matter of ensuring that those who have guns should have guns in terms of background checks. In terms of getting rid of making it inaccessible, these assault rifles that are that have military capabilities that are only designed to annihilate life. All right. These are the weapons that are wreaking havoc on our streets. that individuals are going into our public places like schools and theaters and just killing multiple people before law enforcement.
All right, but you see, for example, take a look at what's happened with the shooting in New Zealand. And now you've got people at the highest level talking about there has to be gun legislation. But that doesn't happen here. When there is a shooting, like after Parkland, you know, you hear a lot of politicians say, well, it's not time to talk about this now. And then they don't want to approach the issue.
And that's one of the benefits of being outside of Washington. Unlike a U.S. senator or congressperson whose campaign coffers are supported by the NRA or other interest groups, that makes it very difficult for them to not only speak out against it, but act to propose bills and pass bills and legislation that will remove these guns from the streets, that will put the proper background checks and policies in place to ensure that the right people have guns and those who shouldn't have guns. So as mayor, my priority, I will be able to speak to this issue and say as president that this will be a priority to address these issues head on and to have the political will to ensure that we press this issue to force Congress to move forward to act on this issue, because we have to do more than just say thoughts and prayers, because this has become the new norm in America. When kids are having active fighter drills in their schools instead of preparing for the SAT and ACT, that's a travesty. And it's a shame on this nation that we don't have the political leaders starting from the top with the White House and Congress to act to change this.
We're talking with Miramar Mayor Wayne Messam. Again, he recently launched an exploratory bid for the presidency as a Democratic candidate. 800-743-9576. If you'd like to ask him a question, let's go to the phones. I want to go to Zachary in Coconut Creek. Zachary, welcome to the program.
Hi, everyone. Happy birthday, Lewis.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, a quick question for you. Regarding your stance on the Immigration Customs Enforcement, Enforcement Agency in America, just curious what you, how you feel about that specific agency and how it might affect the facility that's in your backyard in Miramar that I know takes in hundreds of our immigrant brothers and sisters each day for check-ins and processing.
Zachary, thank you for the call. This is another big issue for you, immigration, but yeah, it's specifically to the facility that he's talking about here in Broward, ICE Detention Center, that's nearby.
Yeah, this issue hits close to home, and this also speaks again to experience, because this is something I have direct experience in why Washington is broken. Obviously, we have laws in this country that must be abided by, and it's not an issue if ICE should exist or not exist. I think the issue is this current administration's policies in regards to the enforcement of immigration laws. Right here in the city of Miramar, did you know that we had to force the federal government, because of its increased enforcement of ICE, of individuals who may be out of status that have to check in at that facility? It was causing a public safety issues. You had families, mothers, kids lined up in the streets. They didn't have adequate parking. Hot sun had to stand out in the elements. If it's raining, in the elements. No proper provisions for restroom facilities. It's a shame that the city of Miramar had to force the federal government to put up covered walkways, benches, seats, additional facilities, have them to purchase additional land to increase the parking so individuals who are coming as far as Orlando, Daytona, and the west coast of Florida to check in our city. So it's a humanitarian issue that's going on.
And you have right now bills in Tallahassee that are trying to basically wipe out any idea of a sanctuary city.
Yes. And what they're also asking is for the attorney general basically to deputize our law enforcement officers to do Washington's job. Okay, the federal government should be the primary enforcer of our laws. Now, if there are legitimate immigration crimes and the assistance of our public safety professionals to assist in that, that's not the issue. It's the issue of raids, sting operations, the things that we're seeing right now. There was a publication article that was just released about how the federal government may be illegally deporting and detaining individuals who are waiting on statuses of petitions that they're doing to change their immigration status. And they're using this opportunity just to deport people when they shouldn't be deported. And they want to put the burden of that enforcement on local government. And that's not right.
Only because of time, I wanted to move over. You said you talked about oil drilling, and I want to get to environment. This is another big issue for you, the environment. And like we said, I mean, just nearby, right nearby, there is, it's actually already passed in court that a group wants to do some exploratory oil drilling near the Everglades, and they have permission to do so. But, I mean, is that a local issue that the state has said that you can do it? I mean, how exactly could you stop that?
Well, there's a series of permits that is required. The only thing the state actually said no. It was the court that is forcing the State Department of Environmental Protection to issue one of the permits that are needed. There still are some land use entitlement issues at Broward County that has to take place. But here's what the real issue is. Think about this. You're talking about one of our most fragile and pristine natural resources, the Everglades. And on top of that, it is the source of our drinking water for perhaps 8 million people in South Florida. And they're threatening to pierce the lime rock, to inject God knows what into the soil, to check to see if there's oil in there in the Everglades. It's just an asinine thought process. And to think that we should be holding our breath, to think that one mistake can irreversibly change the quality and the safety of our drinking water, and for me as a mayor in our backyard not to stand up and fight to stop this, I wouldn't deserve to be in the seat. And so again, you know, these are the issues that we're facing, you know, as a mayor. And being on the front line on these very important issues. So when I think about these pressing issues as what we're facing in the city of Miramar, that is why change can't wait and the American people needs an agent who can represent them in these very tough issues that we're facing today.
Let me get another call in here. I want to go to Jill in Weston. Jill, welcome to the show.
Hi, good day to you, Mayor.
Good day to you.
What is your position on, if you have any, on universal health care, and how do you plan to pay for it?
Big issue.
Yes, it's a very big issue. In terms of health care, I feel that health care should be a right for the American people. I think that obviously right now, when you think about the high cost of prescription medication, when seniors can't afford their drugs, that's they have to choose between their medication or to eat or to even pay their rent or their mortgage. It's a real life issue. Right now, there's a big talk about Medicare for all, which is a possible solution. I am in support of finding, as well as other ideas, to make sure that the access of healthcare is available for the American people. And that will be something that I would support. I will be proposing a platform of issues in terms of how we will be addressing this issue. But in terms of my position on healthcare and access to healthcare, I think it's a right. And I think that the Congress, as well as the president, that we should be working together as leadership for this country to ensure that all Americans have access to health care.
Let me just finish with this real quick. Again, you're going to make an announcement coming up later this month, but what exactly, I mean, again, you're the mayor of Miramar.
Yes.
You've got people who are running who have deep, deep pockets. Mm-hmm. How are you competing with them?
Well, obviously, it takes resources to run an effective campaign. And I'm convinced that our campaign, if I should run, and you'll find out on the 30th, that we will have the resources necessary to get our message out to the American people. And our campaign is going to be driven by everyday American people, small donors, small dollar amount donors who hear our message, who will be fueling this campaign. We won't be accepting funding from super PACs and from corporations. It'll be fueled by the people. And we're convinced that we'll have the resources based on the support of everyday Americans.
He is the mayor of Miramar, Wayne Messam, and again, he's expecting to announce later this month whether or not he's running for president in 2020. Mayor Messam, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, and enjoy the rest of your birthday.
Well, still to come, how criminal justice in Miami is trying to do more to help those with mental illness. WLRN's Nadege Green and Danny Rivero will bring you a special report.